Let's talk about something that was founded by guys who know a little something about hard work. 5-9 Whiskey. The crew over at Troll Company decided to whip up a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. So, Ole Miss fan, meet 5-9. Two oil-filled guys figured why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on. I mean, who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey, right? This stuff is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They went all in. And what about that name? 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., but they're wanting you to forget about that 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat and toll. They work hard, and now they're pouring the same energy into their whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Seriously, help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. So cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's 59whiskey.com. F-I-V-E-N-I-N-E-whiskey.com. And use the promo code CHAMPIONS20. That's CHAMPIONS20 for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up. It's 59 Whiskey, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. Can you feel it? The holiday season is here. It's in the air. Uncommon Goods is your one-stop shop for incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your shopping list. Never panic about finding the perfect gift again, because Uncommon Goods scours the globe for the remarkable. My daughters, for example, love mix and match games. Find My Behind, a hilarious twist on a classic game in under $20, has already brought joy to our home. I want the same for you. The Garretts have caught the pickleball itch. The indoor-outdoor light-up set from Uncommon Goods has been perfect for fun, spirited game nights at home. But it's not just for kids, and even better, you're supporting local artists and small independent businesses when you support Uncommon Goods. They even give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. Shopping legitimately doesn't get any better than this. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. That's uncommongoods.com/TOC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer with Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
The car buying process can be a lot. I know, I've been there. You just want to get in and out with a new car and the best deal. Simple. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford keeps it simple. They're going to take care of you, get you in and out with your new vehicle with a great deal. Their inventory right now is priced to sell, and what separates Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford from any and all competitors is they aim to address each of your needs with the utmost respect, care, and attention to detail. Contact them today at 662-234-8000. That's 662-234-8000. Stop by and see them in person at 2201 East University Avenue in Oxford. That's Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford to find your next perfect car, truck, or Jeep. Alan Samuels, let's be friends.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Talk of Champions live from Riverland, Murphy. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297, or you can hit them up online, riverlandroofing.com. Sitting with me, Ole Miss baseball infielder, do everything, slugger more than anything, Sean the Pipes. It's Judd. There it is. Ah, let's go.
How we doing, guys?
Judd Uttermark. What's up, man?
How's it going?
Good, man. So how's fall ball? How's it been going for you?
It's going good. We're about wrapping up with it. Really good squad this year. It's going to be a lot of fun going into the spring season.
For you, specifically, before we get into all the big picture stuff, you've been raking this fall, man. Like, what's been the difference for you? Not that you haven't, you know, been a hitter to this point, but you're healthy now. How you feeling? And what's this fall been like for you specifically?
Yeah, for sure. This fall, I mean, it's been the only fall in my 3 years that I've been able to play the whole fall. So I think that's the biggest thing is seeing consistent at-bats, staying healthy, like you said. Our coaching staff has been great, weight room, physical therapy, all that stuff has kind of played a part into my success, I feel like, this fall. And all I can do right now is just, you know, keep working at this and carry it over into the spring.
Individually, what have you been focusing on in the box just to have more, make more consistent contact, really utilize the power that you have naturally? Like, is there any approach that you've changed, or is it just about, hey man, being healthy and getting those cuts in?
I think it's the second one. Yeah. I think, you know, whenever I step in that box, I think this goes for anybody who's feeling hot or feeling good. It's more about just being there, being present, understanding that, hey, my talent is going to carry me this way, and trusting yourself and having that confidence. And when I get in that box, I'm not thinking about anything.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking about just seeing the ball and hitting it.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to go.
Yeah. And the power has been there all fall. But like for you specifically, fielding, I mean, we know about the hitting. We know that you know, as long as you're at your best, man, you're going to hit the ball far as you make consistent contact. But from the field standpoint, I've seen you play third. We've seen you play first this fall a little bit. Have you really figured it out positionally, or are y'all still trying to figure some stuff out with all the new pieces?
Yeah, that's the beauty about the inter squads is you can play guys anywhere and it doesn't really matter, you know, because the score, you know, doesn't stay on the box score. It doesn't get recorded. It's kind of just for us. So, you know, I'll play it anywhere from left field, right field, second base, like you said, third and first. So, it's cool to see, you know, and to expand my defensive skills. Where can I play? What can I do to help this team? Because you never know. It can be halfway through the year and second baseman goes down. Mm. And you need a guy who's you can trust, who can feel the ball, who knows how to run the defenses, who knows how to run the plays. And that's just been something that I've tried to pride myself in really ever since I got here, was being able to be like a Justin Bench type of player, can play anywhere. So, yeah.
It's interesting, too, because there are a lot of newcomers in infielder specifically. We can talk about Owen Pano, a freshman who's come in and looked pretty good. Some of the transfer guys that have come in and could plug and play. But for you, do you even think about it that way? Or is it just like in the fall, it's less about, from an individual standpoint, the team concept? That's for the coaches. For y'all, it's individual work, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think, there, you know, obviously at the start of the fall, there's a lot of individual stuff going on. You're trying to gauge, okay, where do you fit? Where am I probably going to play? What's our defense or what's our offense going to look like? Once you kind of get further into the fall, it's really about competing. It's really learning how to win with your guys. And that's why we do the inter squads. That's why we do the scrimmages against Samford, against University of North Alabama. Kind of see how does your team fit together? How do you, you know, get those hits together? Or how do you have your reliever come in and shut a guy down? And it's more about the competing side, because once you're about halfway through the fall, you kind of know, you know, how your team is looking. But like, any team, you know, you can talk to anybody, even the bigs. You can have really good players, but if you can't play together, you know, it usually doesn't work out for you. So that's what we're trying to do this fall, is just learn how do we pitch and hit together? How do we play defense and keep it clean? How do we, you know, combine all of these talents, whether it's freshmen or transfers or returners, and how do we build the perfect team chemistry to hopefully go out there and succeed this year?
What stuck out to you about the newcomers? It could be transfers, Isaac Humphrey, Mitch Sanford, both guys that could plug and play in the middle or top of the order, or Owen Pano, those freshmen. Who's kind of turned your head a little bit, been like, oh, that's a dude?
Yeah. There's a lot of guys that I would say fit that. One guy that I've really been impressed with has been Austin Folley, transfer catcher from Kentucky. Really, really good player, has a really hot bat. Really good defensively behind the plate. And that's been something that, you know, I'm super excited about, is seeing how our catchers are progressing this fall and being able to see how, man, you know, I'm on first base and I'm trying to steal a bag. I got to worry about that guy behind the plate, whether it's Smithwick or whether it's Colin Reuter or whoever it is. Behind the plate, I believe wholeheartedly we are going to be elite.
See, and that's the interesting thing, too, because last year, Campbell Smithwick, I mean, he arrived with all the fanfare. He was a top prospect. Defensively, it was a struggle for him, pass ball specifically, but he's got positional versatility. And I think that is a good way to describe this team writ large. Like you talked about, you played third, first, left, second if you needed to. There's a lot of positional versatility here, to where it's just about finding the right mix, right? I mean, Campbell can play left if he needed to, or Isaac Humphrey can play center or either corner. That's got to be a feather in the cap of this team that, hey, yes, we're not stuck with, well, if this isn't working out, well, we have nobody else. You talked about they got two backup catchers. So that positional versatility looks like a strength for y'all across the board.
It definitely is. And that's one of the things about this year that's, I think, is going to be very interesting is, you know, nobody knows what that opening day against Arizona lineup is going to look like. Where are guys going to play? Who's going to play? And that's the beauty of it, is you don't have, you know, certain guys that can only play one position. we have a lot of guys who can play multiple positions and who are pretty good at playing those positions. And, you know, it gives, I think it gives coach freedom, knowing that, hey, you can stick like an Isaac Humphrey out in center and mm-hmm. he's going to do, you know, you won't bat an eye. Or you put Mitch Sanford out in right, or Judd Unimark at second base, or like you said, Campbell Smith out in left. There's so many versatile positions that these guys can play. I think it comes with a little bit of maturity. I think with Smithwick being a year older, you know, he's going to be an elite player this year. Mm. I'm calling it. You know, I bought stock in him. if that was possible, I'd buy all the
hey,
stock.
I was bought in the summer, man, when he went to, oh, dude, he yes. killed it, like the Cape, I think it was, but like he killed it, man.
Yeah, no, I love Smithwick, and if you ask anybody on the team, best teammate that you can possibly have. But yeah, I'm just excited seeing, especially these new guys, continue to see at-bats, continue to see how we mesh as a team. And I'm just really excited for the spring, man.
How's the who's been the toughest at bat? I mean, Hunter's back, but yep. I hear Patrick Gale's hitting triple digits, man, on a gun.
Yeah, he's a freak. That's, you know, that's yeah. the right word.
Yeah.
Anytime you're facing 100, you know, mm-hmm. you gotta lock in a little bit. I haven't faced him that much this fall, but I've been on defense while he's been pitching, and you know, he looks good. Obviously, you know, Mason Morris, I've always had trouble with him.
Why? Him. Why particularly him?
Yeah, so we have a little bit of background. So we played on the same travel ball team since 12 years old.
Oh, I love that.
Growing up, yeah. Or probably really since 10 years old.
So y'all been talking that crap for a minute, bro.
Yes. I mean, when I tell you that we're close, me, Mason Morris, and Cole Ketchum, actually, mm. we're all on the same team. And, you know, it shows with kind of how our bickering goes and the at-bats and stuff. And I'm the only hitter now who's facing these two guys, so obviously I have the disadvantage stepping in there, and it's hard when you got Mason Morris laughing up there on the bump. but yet, you know, his stuff, he's made strides that have been just, I don't know how, and I think I'm going to give a lot of credit to our new coach, Coach Mangrum.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very good for this program. Coach B had a press conference talking about it. He really brings, you know, a different perspective to pitching, and it gives, I believe, our pitchers a lot of freedom to go out there and just do their thing, knowing that they have the advantage. And I think Mason Morris, you know, he could possibly be, in my opinion, he could be a first round type of guy.
Mm.
You know, he's elite player. So to answer your question, Mason Morris is the hardest at bat for me.
I love that. And it was interesting too, because look, I mean, B's been doing this for a while. I mean, Five's been doing this for a long time. Yeah. So for Coach Bianco in year 25, I think it is, 24, 25, to make that move for Joel Mangrum to seed some of that, that's a hard thing to do. But has he let Joel have that runway, just, hey, that you go handle the pitchers? I mean, because typically, you know, Mike is, he was calling the pitches, he was making the yep. changes. So how has that transition been for him? Have you seen Mike kind of adapt as well, because he's done something he hasn't done before?
Yeah, you know, no, Joel. I think it's, you know, and again, I'm not in the position sure. really to make that big of a decision. And also, I'm not really with the pitchers as sure. much. I just kind of hear what they say. But I think it was a, you know, like you said, it's a hard decision to make, since, mm-hmm. especially since you've been the pitching coach for the team. But I think it's the best thing, because coach now has the ability to come and see the hitters hit,
mm.
be able to help the fielders.
And he was an elite hitter at LSU. Yes, I mean, this guy was a dude.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, he has, if you ever talk to Coach B for 5 minutes, you're going to understand how much knowledge he has in the game. In the game of baseball, he's coached for, you know, he's 25 years here. He coached a couple years at McNeese State.
Mm-hmm.
He knows baseball, and he knows how to run a team. And I think having that availability now to where he can step into bullpens, and he can, you know, come out with the fielders and help us out with that, or help the hitters out, I think it makes our team more well-rounded, and his knowledge, being able to place it on us, is just, you know, it's a dream come true, really. It's why you come here.
Mm. The last 2 years have been difficult, especially coming off a national championship, and it's been losing that Ole Miss isn't used to. Can you tell a marketable difference in this team? Maybe it's talent level, maybe it's aura, I don't know. But can you tell that this one maybe is better equipped, at least what you've seen so far this fall, to play more of the brand of baseball that Ole Miss is used to playing? Have you seen a little bit of a different, you know, measuring stick, I guess, this year?
Yeah, I think... If in, you know, going back the last 2 years, I was on those two teams, mm-hmm. and you know, it's not fun. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine what the fans are feeling.
Y'all feeling it worse, though. They're feeling it way worse, I promise you.
You know, but it's the one remarkable difference that I see is the level of business-like mindset when mm-hmm. you come into the field. You know, everybody can hit, everybody can pitch, even including the last 2 years. And there was great team chemistry the last 2 years, but this team, one, it's very close-knitted, you know, the bond is almost unbreakable, and, you know, it's still just the fall. We haven't even started the spring. But there's a sense of, okay, when we step onto that field and we put that jersey on, you know, we're going to be business-like. We're here to win. We're here to help Ole Miss win.
No more bullshit. You know, yeah, like it's time
exactly.
to win.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's very clear across all the guys. I think we have great leadership in the locker room. I think we have great leadership from the coaches. You know, getting the point across that each day we will step on the field and refuse to lose and we will compete.
Yeah, how is it being a leader now? I mean, because look, for you, you're trying to find your own consistent footing, right? Be it offensively, wherever you play in the field. And you're still doing that to an extent. But now these young cats that are coming in like an Owen Pano, pick your guy, they're looking at Judd, you know, and that's that might be a little bit of a new thing for you. But what is that like taking on a leadership role and really embracing that? Like, guys, this is Ole Miss baseball. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, we know what the assignment is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the biggest part of that, and actually I have to give a shout out to our strength and conditioning coach, Coach Corello, because he kind of put this in my mind. The number one way to have personal success and to have team success and to, you know, achieve whatever you want is to win. Mm-hmm. And winning is the ultimate fix for everything. You know, it kind of makes sense whenever you say it. You might be thinking to yourself, you know, well, duh.
But still, I mean.
But it's the truth.
It's a culture.
Know? When you win and you win that national championship, you have that ring on that finger. I don't care if you batted 240, if you batted 400. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, you're happy. You finished your goal. And that's why you come here to Ole Miss. I can't speak for other programs that go out there. You know, you may go to that program just to get drafted. That's not what we do here. We come here to win. And other things will take care of itself. So, and like Coach Corella said, you know, he was talking to me. He said, listen, what are your personal goals this year? And I thought about it for a second. I was like, I'm going to be honest. I just want to win. And he goes, that's the answer that I wanted to hear from you. He goes, you can't control what happens. You can't control whether you get injured or whether you, you know, bat 500 or bat 200. You can't control that. All you can control is your ability to win. And that's the biggest thing that I've tried to bring into the locker room. I think the other guys have as well, is just, listen, winning fixes everything. So let's go out there and win.
See, I think that's a little bit lost in today's game. It doesn't matter what level. It's I'm one of those that just dives deep into the analytics and says, well, his hard hit rate's great, but this and that and the other. There is still a human element to it. Yep. And the losing can take a toll just as much as, well, why am I not having success? But to be able to stay even like that, you seem like that's mm-hmm. something you've learned. And now that you're trying to impress upon these guys, that don't ride the roller coaster, right? Yep. There is a human element to it. It's not just about what my OBP is, what my power rate is. Like it's also about understanding you're going to have peaks and valleys, especially in baseball. It can humble you better than any other sport, and it's an individual sport. That must have been something you've kind of learned over your last couple of years, right?
Yeah, and I think it's come from, you know, great leadership. And I've told everybody who's asked me about Ole Miss baseball, you know, what's the locker room look like? And I always point out the same few guys, you know, they were great leaders to me. You know, great people, first off. But I think, and I don't know how much you know about this, but we've introduced something into our system or a routine where we pass out L's and it's little stickers that you put on your practice jersey. And when you show some sort of leadership or some sort of leadership skill, and that can be on or off the field, you're rewarded with an L, and it signifies, you know, we want a team full of leaders. We don't just want to look at one guy, you know, and he's the end all be all. We want guys to hold each other accountable, whether that is, you know, just me where, you know, hey, you know, you need to be better in the weight room, or whether that's, hey, you know, you need to get your grades up. Mm-hmm. Whatever that is, you know, we need to be a culture of winning, whether that's on and off the field. We need to have a locker room full of leaders. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing is once you have a team that is not afraid to hold each other accountable, man, the sky's the limit.
I agree, man. Are y'all still doing the Wolfpack stuff, or is that been retired? Still?
Yeah.
All right. Yep. What are you in the Wolfpack?
Can you even remember? I don't like to put myself in a box. If you ask Coach Clement, he's going to say a bomber.
Yeah.
You know, I tell him I'm too fast to be a bomber, so I'm
Let's go. So, see? Yeah. Clem, you can't put him in a box. No, okay? You can't put baby in a box.
You can't.
No. Yeah, I was wondering if they still do the Wolfpack. They're doing L's in the Wolfpack now. That's awesome. There's one thing I wanted to touch on. We were talking about leadership, and I had talked this with Clem, and I thought I'd talk to one of his teammates. It started tough for Luke Hill last year. I mean, some stuff off the field made it hard. But he really put his head down, went to work, and I've seen a leadership growth in him, and I'll be honest that he's one of those guys, you know, that I think the way it started to where it is now, it is surprising. How is Luke specifically? I mean, that's another veteran guy. We could talk about all the new, but it started rough, not even on the field, but really on the field too, but off the field, and he's done his job. And I think that's a good example of what you're talking about, adapting and owning, forgive me, owning your shit. You know what I mean? Own it. And it feels like he's one of those guys that's kind of done that too. And I don't know if you want to speak to him specifically, but it's a good example of what we're talking about here. Luke Hill's a good walking example.
No, Luke Hill is, you know, if anybody knows Luke Hill, you know, he's the hardest worker on the field. He's the first one there. He's the last one to leave.
Mm.
And it shows, you know, he's you know, one of the most consistent bats that I've ever seen. You know what you're getting from him. He gives you all out effort. He is selfless. He doesn't care, you know, what his batting average is as long as we're winning. And kind of to my point, you know, before, winning fixes everything. And I think a big part of all the stuff that went on off the field or on the field last year, you know, hurt a little bit because we were losing. There was attention brought to it.
Everybody's trying to figure out what's going wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, and within the locker room, you know, Luke's always been on our side. We've always had his back. He's always had our back, whether that's last year or this year. Like you said, Luke has stepped into a leadership role that is, you know, unmatched. He's helping the younger guys. He's helping the new guys. He knows the reins of almost baseball. And sometimes you get that after your second or third year here. Mm. And he got it after his first year here. So he knows what he's doing. He's very connected. He's very, you know, tight-knit with all the players. And that's what you look for in a leader. And he's, you know, the full embodiment of that.
Now, I know I'm going to ask you individual goals to close this out, and you're going to talk about team goals.
Yep.
But I've said it over and over, man, you remind me a lot of Tim Elko in his career track. You know, there's some inconsistency as far as whatever, but, man, that third year started crushing balls. I mean, with a consistent rate, you know, the hard hit, all the things came together. For you, do you feel like you're better equipped now going into a year than you've ever been at Ole Miss? And also, this team, you know, from an offensive standpoint, it's not just sluggers. You know, you've got some young guys that could play. Just what do you think about the offense, too, and how you play into that as one of those big boppers, one of those bombers, as Clem says, you know, and being that consistent thing and following that Tim Elko track as both a leader and a productive player. I mean, do you kind of feel like you're there now?
Yeah, you know, I've always been confident every time I step in the box.
Got to be, because it'll humble you. Even the best hitters fail 7 out of 10 times.
That's right. That's right. In my past 2 years, I failed more than 7 times out of 10.
But man, when you connect, bro.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I think it's the biggest thing is, you know, I feel, and again, it, you know, like I said earlier, it's my first fall. First full
healthy.
Fall in the last, you know, 2 years, 3 years. So I think that plays a role into it. And I'm being able to see consistent at bats and being able to stay healthy. And, you know, I'm the strongest I've ever been. I'm the fastest that I've ever been. I think there's a little part of the physical side that helps that. But I think, honestly, it's the mental side. It's going up there and understanding, listen, I faced the best of the best, right? I've failed and I've succeeded against the best of the best. And knowing that I've been thrown in the fire, knowing that, you know, we've been horrible the last 2 years. You know, I feel very optimistic about this year, whether it's personal or whether it's, you know, team oriented. And listen, you know, whether I bat 100 or 500, when we get that national championship ring, I'm going to be the happiest dude in the world.
Let's go. Be looking out for Uter bombs. That's what I want to call it, Uter bombs. This is Talk of Champions. We're here at Riverland Roofing. Our thanks to them for all they do to support us and support Judd, who will be doing some stuff for us on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of Vol. 3. Sign up today for as low as $1 as Ole Miss football readies to go to Arkansas, a house of horrors for Ole Miss historically. You know. But Judd's going to be here more often, and he's going to be crushing the ball out there at Swayze, so go visit him, Riverland Roofing, RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. You're the man. Let's do it again.
Yes, sir. Yes, all sir. Right. Appreciate it.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get tender bone-in pork back ribs for $3.49 a pound with your card. Then get 16-ounce packages of juicy strawberries for $1.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.